Yes, I'm interrupting again, but count your blessings. I'm not speaking like King Charles.
Okay, that wasn't actually speaking like King Charles either, but the point is we are going to hear from the king. But first, might I encourage you at this time, it's a really important season for us here at Wretched Radio. Would you join the matching gift campaign that we have, doubling your contribution so that we can continue not just broadcasting Wretched Radio and TV, but all of our podcasts, all of our fellows, all of our resources, and all of the future plans that we have. We'd be super grateful. Thank you to everybody who has. You're being very generous and kind. I'm grateful. If you have the ability to give, would you please consider doing so now? It is our No Retreat campaign. And with your gift, I promise you,
I'll never talk like this again.
FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God told me to tell you this.
That's paganism.
Do you really expect and anticipate that the divine voice of God can be heard by you?
That's horoscope reading.
Standing in the office of the prophet of God.
That's reading tea leaves.
You can't have a relationship to God if you can't hear God.
That is not biblical Christianity.
You want to hear God speak to you? Read your Bible. If you want to hear God speak to you audibly, read it out loud. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, you will hear him speak.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It looks like Christianity, but it's not. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you...
Did you fall asleep?
Oh, sorry. What? What happened? What happened? We're talking about King Charles appearing to the U.S. Congress giving us...
Todd.
What? King Charles, he appeared before Congress to give a speech. And he talked about his Christian faith. Although, if you're listening carefully, you'll notice it was a very subtly crafted speech to import global warming concerns, environmental concerns, a diversity, equality, inclusion concerns. Very craftily phrased, very slippery, but for our purposes, let's just focus. Sorry. Let's just focus on his discussion about Christianity. King Charles historically prefers to be called the defender of faiths, not the historical term of the faith, but of faiths. In other words, if you don't have to listen all that hard, he's an ecumenist.
And Mr. Speaker, for many here, and for myself, the Christian faith is a firm anchor and daily inspiration that guides us, not only personally.
Well, that got a rousing round of applause. But notice he doesn't say it's the foundation of our documents. Even the Democrats stood.
That guides us not only personally, but together as members of our community. Having devoted a large part of my life to interfaith relationships.
There it is, right there. So he spends far more time on interfaith relationships, scolding us for not being accepting of other religions. Are you kidding me?
And greater understanding. It is that faith in the triumph of light over darkness, which I have found confirmed countless times.
I'm not exactly sure what that means, but I think that it means Christianity isn't the only exclusive religion. We need to understand other religions. They're just as valid as ours. Standard ecumenical fare.
Through it, I am inspired by the profound respect that develops as people of different faiths grow in their understanding of each other.
Let's just turn this card around for a moment. How many Christian assaults have there been on mosques? How many Christians and our nation or any other nation that's predominantly, at least on the surface, Christian, arresting Muslims? However, on the other hand, I do have... instance In Egypt, this fellow, Zoinkscoob, he converted from Islam. And in July, he was arrested in Cairo for terrorism charges. Why? Well, it's not apostasy in Egypt to change faith. But if you change your religious designation on official identity documents, that's then the charge of security threat. And so the guy has been put in prison, the Cairo's 10th of Ramadan prison, where he was reportedly deprived of basic necessities, adequate food, clothing, medical care, and for hours he was hung in a crucifixion position. All right, Prince Charles, King Charles, sorry. Would you deliver this speech in Cairo? Would you condemn them for this atrocious behavior against somebody of another faith? No, it's just a chide against Christianity. Punch Christians, coddle those that actually do assault other religions. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Congress.
It is why, it is my hope, my prayer, that in these turbulent times, working together and with our international partners, we can stem the beating of plowshares into swords.
That didn't get much applause. Maybe they just had to figure out what that meant.
I am mindful that we are still in the season of Easter.
Are we?
The season that most strengthens my hope. It is why I believe with all my heart that the essence of our two nations is a generosity of spirit and a duty to foster compassion, to promote peace, to deepen mutual understanding, and to value all people of all faiths and of none.
And since when haven't we done that? And yet, in his own country, it is being consumed by Sharia law courts. It is being consumed by violence of one particular religion. Where's the scold? Where's the chide for that? By the way, speaking of Islam and Great Britain, this I can't play the clip for you. It's just kind of raucous and loud. It was a guy, I don't know anything about like his theology, but he was in the public square in a town called Watford. And he happened to be preaching the gospel and critiquing Islam. And for his troubles, what happened? He was actually arrested Saturday, April 18th. They put him in double handcuffs. They put him in a car, toted him away. On what? Suspicion of public order and hate-related offenses. In other words, he was critiquing the religion of peace. And so what do the British bobbies do? They arrested him. He was yelling, "No offense has been committed here, none whatsoever. You should be ashamed of yourselves for arresting a minister of the gospel." The arresting policewoman said, "In the name of Jesus, get in the car." That is the hypocrisy of what you just heard from King Charles. This is so typical. It's politics. It's also in religion. Punch right, coddle left. Punch Christians, coddle, well, everything else. When all of the empirical data is clear, there we don't have a problem with a particular religion. We have a religion problem, and it is called Islam. And by the way, kudos to the fellow at TPUSA. Actually, there were a number of people at the TPUSA thing. I think it was a pastor summit. They actually did an entire breakout on the differences between Islam and Christianity. And apparently, it was pretty transparent about the religion of peace. The issue isn't that we're not willing to be accepting of people practicing another faith. The concern is that they have a mandate to terminate other people who don't agree with them. And yet, we get a lecture from King Charles, who claims to be the defender of the faiths. Example number two of what sounds like Christianity but isn't. This was also at a TPU. Maybe it was actually the same TPUSA event. This one was in Idaho. Young man took the microphone and asked a question of Matt Walsh and Michael Knowles, both of whom are practicing Roman Catholics. I don't know who this kid is. Got quite a personality. He's rather enthusiastic, and he asked an excellent question.
But one of the most important questions that I think that we as people need to grapple with is, do you know for sure where you will go when you die?
Dude, that's an awesome question.
And I would like to see what you guys think about that question.
He's going to hell.
I hope not.
That's not funny.
Would you ask if I know where he's going when he dies?
No, you.
If you were to say, yes.
If you, do you know for sure where you will go when you die?
I don't.
Well then, asked and answered. That's not a Christian response. A Christian knows. Why? Because the Bible tells us so. We can know that we have eternal life. That's what the entire book of 1 John was all about. You can know that you have eternal life. If you believe that Christ is the Son of the living God, if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, if you have indeed put your repentant faith in Jesus Christ, you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt you are saved. Michael Knowles, at least he's an honest Roman Catholic. He doesn't know.
I trust and I have hope in our Lord. I trust in Jesus, and I consider hope to be a theological virtue and a demand, not just a nice feeling, but a demand that goes along with faith and charity.
Now, did you catch that? Did you catch that? He said he's got hope in Jesus Christ. And you go, well, there you go. He's good to go. No, he said it's a command along with charity and acts of love. In other words, he has to believe in Jesus and do stuff. That's work righteousness. That isn't grace alone, faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. And while it sounds kind of like Christianity, it's kind of not. Why? Because it adds to salvation. Michael Knowles, therefore, cannot know where he's going when he dies because he doesn't know how well he's been doing in that regard. None of us can. And I would furthermore ask, how many of those acts do I need to do to balance out all of the sins that I've committed? And the answer is the Bible doesn't tell us so, except to say, if you repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ, all of your sins, past, present, future, will be forgiven. This is Wretched Radio.
No retreat. That's the name of Fortis Institute's Spring Match campaign. And here's why. We're being told to keep our faith quiet in public or to soften what we believe so it goes down easier. Fortis Institute has no intention of doing either one. We exist to advance the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this spring, we're doing it as loudly and as boldly as we know how. You can find out more right now at fortisinstitute.org/donate.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke? Or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing, but management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers.
Jerome was a 4th century Christian theologian and one of the original four doctors of the church. His most important work was the Latin Vulgate, a translation of the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, the vernacular of his day. The Vulgate remained the preeminent translation of the Bible for a millennium.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, Jimmy.
Yes?
What's the most important thing about adding a comment to a radio segment?
Timing.
Exactly. This is Wretched Radio. What's your comment about King Charles?
I was just wondering if there were any reported No Kings protests while an actual king was here.
Not a one. No, not a one.
Surprise me.
Yeah, no, not a one. But we've moved on from that.
Sorry.
Timing, Jimmy, timing. Yep. We're at the Turning Point Conference in Idaho. A young man asking, it looks like specifically Michael Knowles, who is quite free to talk about his religious beliefs regularly as a Roman Catholic. Do you know for sure that you're going to go to heaven? And his answer was, I don't. I don't know where I'm going. And I got to tell you something, as agitating as that is because of the dogma of the Roman Catholic Church, what a horrible way to live. Ay, ay, ay. What a joyless way to live. What a laborious way to live. Jesus said his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Why? Because he lifts the yoke of our sins. He paid it all. His righteousness is sufficient. And then we walk in that liberty, joyfully obeying by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in order to be saved, but because we are saved. So poor Michael Knowles, he's laboring under a very heavy burden. He says he has his hope in Jesus, but his hope is mingled with works, which means it's not a confident hope. The Christian hope isn't like, cross your fingers, hope to die, stick a needle in your eye, I better get that. Maybe I will. I don't know for sure, but I hope so. That's not Christian hope. Christian hope is a certainty. It's a verity. It is the assurance that because of Jesus, I am safe.
Okay. I trust and I have hope in our Lord. I trust in Jesus. And I consider hope to be a theological virtue and a demand, not just a nice feeling, but a demand that goes along with faith and charity, without which we have nothing.
That is faith plus. And that remains the distinction between biblical Christianity and Roman Catholicism.
However, I know that God respects my free will.
I have no idea what that means. I just have no idea what that means.
And so God saves me. I don't save myself. God.
That sounds good. But what he said earlier is you do save yourself.
Saves me. His grace comes down the mountain and reaches out to me despite all of my failures. And
sins.
Then I when I cooperate with his grace.
Oop, cooperate with his grace. What does that mean exactly? Now, yeah. Could we endure that statement if it's cooperate in that we believe that you are dead and the Holy Spirit resurrects you, brings you to spiritual life? Okay, but I don't think that's what the Roman Catholic definition is.
My life is really great. And then I screw it up. And I screw it up again and again and again. But I know that God absolves me. He gives me a way to
How?
Be absolved.
How?
And he tells us this in the Gospels. He tells to his apostles and to their successors.
Where's that list?
It says, I give you receive the Holy Spirit. You have the power to forgive sins. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, and whose sins you retain are retained.
Now, that is, of course, a disputed dogma. Matthew 16 and 18, he's talking really, I think, about the priesthood of all believers, not just to Peter and his successors. Furthermore, if it's just Peter and his successors being the Pope and the following pontiffs, how did the priests get that authority? You have to expand the text beyond just Peter the Pope. In evangelical Christianity, we would say the priesthood of all believers, the kingdom of the keys doctrine, is that when an individual, Matthew 16 and 18 go together, when an individual is being disciplined for their sin, it is brought before the body. And if it is determined that the individual is living in unrepentant and ongoing sin, then we proclaim what has already been declared from heaven. That person isn't forgiven. We do not have the authority to say that you are forgiven. We do have the authority to say, if you have put your wholehearted trust in Jesus Christ, then you are forgiven. not because I proclaim it or grant it, but because I am simply testifying to what God has said about those who repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ. And so Michael Knowles is going to explain how it is that we go about the business of being forgiven for the stuff that we've committed after we've been baptized. Now, he didn't say that, but that is Roman Catholic dogma, that you get baptized and you are infused with righteousness. But if you go about the business of sinning, guess what? You've got to do stuff to get those sins absolved.
He gives us a visible church and sacraments, and he allows us to take himself into us.
Now, I think what he just said is, in order for me to be forgiven for those failures that are ongoing through life, I have to take the sacraments. What is that? That's a work. You got to put the bread in your mouth. You got to chew it. You got to drink that wine. That is doing something. That is not how we are forgiven.
The only food that does not dissolve and become like us when we eat it, but it actually makes us into him.
Well, it's not mystical. It's not magical. It is a remembrance of what he has done, and that ongoing consideration of what our Savior did for us. That then, it forms us into his image, but not through some sort of mystical consumption of elements.
So I know all of that, and I have great confidence in that. And I know my own frailties, and I pray to God to preserve me from temptation, as the Lord teaches us in his prayer, in the Lord's prayer.
By the way, hold on. All right. We are 2 minutes into his answer. He said, I don't know where I'm going. And now this is all explaining why he doesn't know where he's going. Or it seems that he's trying to explain the Roman Catholic system in light of the fact that he doesn't know. In other words, this is a pretty substantial amount of chin boogie.
But I know that I have free will. I know that there are sins, all of which are unrighteous, as St. John tells us. But some sins are mortal. Some sins are deadly.
No, all sins are deadly. This is the venial sin business. Again, this is Roman Catholic dogma that you can commit some sort of nasty sin that kicks you out of the kingdom and you can't be forgiven. Apparently, according to this dogma, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was not sufficient to cover some of it, because he covers a lot, but not those big, ugly things.
They can sever that saving grace.
No. Nothing can sever you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus.
And so I pray that I don't fall into temptation. When I do, I go, I say my act of contrition. I pray to God personally in my room. And
do.
I run off to a box.
Do.
A priest who I believe that God has appointed in his stead.
Do.
And he says these words through the sacrament, a sacrament which is a visible connection of the metaphysical to the physical, of God to man, to say, ego te absolvo, I absolve you of your sins.
That is a man stating that he does not have that authority or power. Only Jesus does.
And then I go about and I cooperate with God's grace, and life makes, not only do I look forward to heaven.
But you just said you don't know that you're going there.
But life makes a lot more sense in that way, which is why when I say my act of contrition, I
do
say I'm sorry for my sins because I dread the loss of heaven.
Dread the loss of heaven. In other words, he doesn't have eternal security. This is a bummer. It's a bummer because he has influence on too many people. Furthermore, it's a bummer for Michael Knowles himself. He doesn't have hope.
I dread the pains of hell, but most of all, because my sins offend you, God, who are all good and deserving of all my love.
You don't have to fear hell. Perfect love casts out all fear. Now, what fear is it? The context informs us it's fear of judgment. The true believer does not need to fear hell.
And I recognize that sin, that sin is always prowling for us, but there are these guardrails that are not just technicalities, but they're a way to preserve a relationship of grace.
Wasn't the question, do you know where you're going when you die?
A pure relationship of grace that God offers to me, that God willing, I will persevere in.
That's a work. So God gives me grace, but I've got to. He does his best. I got to do the rest.
The end of my life, such that I can say, I've kept the faith, I've finished the race, and I get to be with God forever.
He hopes, but he doesn't know. That's really sad. That's really tragic. And that is the human propensity, isn't it? And that's why the Roman Catholic system bends toward work righteousness. That is kind of built into our fallen DNA. We want to do stuff. sure, God can do his bit, but we've got to play a part too. That's the offense of the gospel. That's the stumbling block of the gospel. That is the toe stubber that says, no, you can't do nothing. Jesus paid it all so that he can get all of the glory. If we have to cooperate, if we have to persevere, if we have to do acts of contrition, if we have to go, as Michael said, visit a man in a box, then we are contributing to our own salvation. And that's why I know that there's a fair amount of evangelicals that listen to Michael Knowles. He speaks about his Catholic faith quite regularly. And what you just heard, it's the Catholic faith. He did actually a pretty good job of representing the Catholic faith, but that isn't Christianity. And that is why there is still a distinction between Catholicism and biblical Christianity. One is a system of works, works, works. The other is the biblical system of grace, grace, God's grace. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.